Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Yes, it is Royce Unchained, and I have a feeling today, Patrick, that you are unchained. Is that a correct assessment?
Not really. I was kind of unchained Saturday afternoon, and I waited a day to see what was going on, and we were. It appeared that the Twins were, with a few minor barbs, were going to slide away from not playing that game on Saturday, and you know, you have a requirement to play games as scheduled. You can't cancel them because you can't postpone them because Rocco Baldelli and Terry Francona are worried about their pitching, right? And then they get each other, you know, they create this partnership because Rocco had a bullpen game on Friday, and then he doesn't want to have Maeda pitch Saturday, apparently. And I guess the original way they had it laid out was J.A. Happ was going to pitch against Chicago on Monday night. Yes. And get murdered again. So what did they
– Oh, no, Happ was going to pitch Sunday against Cleveland.
But then he didn't have a pitcher for the White Sox on Monday, right?
Yeah, and so he kept Happ in the Sunday spot, and he just moved Maeda
back
yeah.
there. But he was looking for a Monday pitcher because yep. he couldn't – yep. You know, so, I mean, you can't do that. You can't have people in the ballpark – Maeda out there stretching, have rain nowhere in sight,
mm-hmm.
and not play, and not start, you know, because it was, I live 4 miles from the ballpark in Golden Valley. You don't live very far away from the ballpark either. We, as I said, we didn't get enough rain to cancel a walk around the block, you know. There was not enough rain. If you were going to walk, take a little walk. You say, it's raining a little bit, but it's okay. We can do it. It rained. The official rainfall in the Twin Cities in the 24 hours ending at 7:30 p.m. was 0.12 inches, one-tenth of an inch, which you play through one-tenth of an inch, right? If you're getting one-tenth of an inch,
oh, hell yeah.
In 20 minutes, yeah. You play.
Yes.
I mean, and I can't believe that management thought that upper management, St. Pete and the guys up there, thought this was a good idea to have people in the ballpark. And as a one thing, I wrote a blog on this, or whatever we call them now. We don't call them blogs anymore. I don't know what the hell they are. But you can't have people, and this is summer weekends. These are when Dad has promised his little leaguers that I'll take you to a game this year, right? Mm-hmm. And it's some summer weekend that they take them to the game. Dad, Mom, and they go in, they pay their $12 for parking. They've already spent $40 on concessions when they get there. And they've tried to keep the kids away from the souvenir place without success. And then you say, oh, well, we're not going to play. It's, you know, you could have played 15 innings. You know, yep. I mean, it never rained hard enough to stop playing. So it was a preposterous thing, and it was abundance of caution gone amok, and you know. So I just said, you know, this is stupid. I covered enough baseball where you don't want to wait. You don't want to wait, but you have to play the games as scheduled, if at all possible. You have to err on the side of playing,
yes,
not on the side of not playing.
Yes.
And that's why you print a schedule. That's why, especially weekend in the summer, and oh, by the way, you can come to another game. Well, if I'm from Fargo and drove in, mm-hmm. That's not feasible. And B, you know, or you can use your tickets for a 7-inning game on September 14th that'll have 6,000 people there. This was premium price game, by the way.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, one of their premium tickets, so it's higher than, you know, they still do that premium pricing thing. So I thought it was just outrageous. And the more I thought about it, the more I said, yeah, we gotta say something about this, you know. So anyway, I'm sure I'm a bad guy I'm sure they'll come up with some phony baloney reason that they did this.
You know, the intriguing
thing,
nothing
to do with the manager saying he didn't want to play.
The intriguing thing about what you just said is, and I know that there were fans there who were tweeting and were upset, and rightfully so. But the intriguing thing, and I guess my question is this, how much do most fans care about stuff like this? Because a couple weeks ago, I wrote, the Vikings are going to start charging for some practices in training camp now. Mm-hmm. I think there's four or five on the docket. And it's very clear that this is the start of, let's see if they'll pay.
Yes, right.
Because then next year they'll pay for everything.
It's like airlines. $15 to bring a bag on. Oh, well, they'll never get away with that. Now it's 40, you know? And by the way, if you want a seat, an actual seat, you got to pay for a seat. Yep. I mean, they started so gently with, $15 for an extra bag. Oh, really?
Yep.
We're not going to let them get away with that. Now you buy a ticket for $200, and when they're done with it, it's $375,
yes.
You know?
And I wrote the thing about it, and I got more tweets back saying, settle down, it's not a big deal, than I did.
I think it's part of that's Vikings, too. Vikings are in good – Vikings have the fan base that excuses them for everything. Twins right now are in bad shape with their fans.
Yeah.
And baseball's in bad shape with their fans.
It's just ridiculous to me to basically make your ballpark a bar, though.
It's
which is what it was Saturday.
Yeah, it's the start, though, of, you're right, with the Vikings. Pretty soon it'll, you know, are they charging for parking yet? Do they charge for parking?
I don't even know. I think they might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're going to, you know.
But they're going to try and charge for all practices.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Right now it's starting off.
Like
for what?
The joint scrimmages, or the joint practices, not scrimmages, with Denver. But the one that's just absolute highway robbery is that within the first week or so, that stadium scrimmage that they're going to do, and they're going to charge. So that's before there can be any contact, right?
Yes.
So like it's just they're basically playing touch football.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
and they're going to charge people.
Well, here's the worst part of it. They have no need for the money. No need whatsoever. They make... With now that full capacity's back, they got their new TV contracts.
Yep.
They make $200 million a year, the Vikings. They make, that's what they, no matter what the Packers might tell you with their public release, these guys are, plus one of the things that when they figure out how much money they're making, they deduct what they're paying when they purchase the franchise, right?
Yep.
I mean, like if this year's payment's $50 million, that comes off the they're making $200 million. They need your money to watch practice, like they need a hole in the head, but they don't care. They're miserable louts, and they'll charge
you for anything.
They'll take you for anything. You for anything.
And you go there and spend too, right? You go to their souvenir store and all of that. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to charge you to watch guys run around in basically their shorts.
Wow. And people, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. Fans, it's impressive what they'll put up with.
But it's interesting. You know what's interesting about the Twins? I've written quite a few Twins columns this year. And, you know, you kind of look at the, not inspect the comments, but look at the numbers. You write a normal Twins column, just off a game or something, you're getting 8 comments. I mean, there's no interest.
Yes.
There is no interest.
Yep.
And now this one.
Oh, this will get
up. Last time I looked, they had 100, and it's been posted for an hour and a half, and it wasn't in the paper, you know. So people are more than willing to jump on the bandwagon to rip the Twins right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I only did it because I thought they deserved it, but to actually read about what's going on with them.
No one gives a damn.
Nobody, you know, that sport, I love it. It's still my favorite sport, even though it drives me crazy. They have no idea how much trouble they're in.
Nope.
No idea how much trouble they're in.
Nope.
You know, because I'm going to die, you know, and there's nobody replacing me, you know.
That's accurate.
Yeah. I mean, there's the younger generations are, you know, they might they play the game. They enjoy playing the game that they have. Well, who'd I write the piece on? The just the other day about from somebody. God almighty, what a memory. 6 weeks ago, I mean, I wrote about a baseball. One of high school. It was a high school thing. Mm-hmm. And the coach said they love to play baseball. They don't watch the games. If they hear there's a highlight, that if there's some crazy highlight,
yep,
like Hector Santiago's glove getting taken away from him, they'll watch that eight times on YouTube. But if they don't care that the Twins aren't on TV. Yep. You know, they're not going to watch them anyway. You know, so baseball is in huge trouble, man. But anyway, this idea that, we don't have Griffin Jackson, Danny Colombe available today, so we can't play is just preposterous, in my opinion. They gotta stop worrying about overusing a pitcher.
So here's my question for you.
Overusing. They had Wednesday off.
I know. My question is very, very simple. Since when did Rocco and the baseball operations department become more important than the business?
Well,
like you just allowed your fan base,
yes,
or a portion of it, to be alienated by a decision that was based on one thing, pitching.
Yes, and now they can tell us anything they want to about,
they never really warmed
up.
There was never
a moment
where they were going to
when it was certain that weather was going to get there.
Well, and
the forecast I saw was 30%.
I got there probably 45 minutes before they started. Nobody ever took the field.
Yeah.
So, like, guys weren't out on the field and called off.
No.
The dugouts were empty.
Yes.
So they had basically agreed long before that they weren't playing.
Yeah. Yes. And they waited. They figured they had to wait. Wait a half hour to make it look good.
Yeah,
I guess Maeda came out and stretched a little or something.
You know, they came out, though. He came out and stretched in the bullpen, but they got all the stuff from the bullpen and took it back in. So they had decided.
Before the.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he came out before I got there, evidently.
But before it was officially postponed.
Yes.
They'd cleaned it out. They knew they weren't playing.
They knew they weren't. Yeah. No, Pat. Nobody came into the dugouts even.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was nobody out there who was called off.
But they're going to make it sound like, well, the weather forecast was wrong. It wasn't. It was iffy all day whether you're going to get the storm or not. As I said, if you were in Rochester, call it off.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyhow, but hey, they're hot, and they're playing. I'll say one thing. They're playing the Mighty Whiteys at the right time. They were, 2-9, something like that?
Yeah, they haven't.
They've been playing.
They got a lot of guys hurt.
Yeah, they do.
They
just lost Eaton, so their whole outfield's not playing.
The division's awful.
Well, it has faded. Cleveland is in, if they're playing just a balanced schedule, is 12 games worse than they've been the last three, 4 years, and they're 2 games out of first place.
And they've got 3 starters out.
Yeah, they got,
and the
reason that they remain competitive is their starting pitching.
Yep.
And they don't have it anymore. So, and the White Sox still have the pitching. So, I mean, you look at the White Sox pitchers lined up for this series. They still got Giolito. They still got Lance Lynn. They still got Carlos Rodon. They're just not hitting right now, but they still have. They still have much better pitching than the Twins, and they're still going to win 90 games. So, and these guys aren't going to win. They're still not going to win 80. So, no matter. They're playing a little better, but I would think. I will say we got to give Nelly Cruz credit, though, don't we? I mean, he's pretty amazing.
His June's been fantastic.
Yeah, it has.
He had the rough May because he was hurt, I think.
He gets hot going. I think he likes, I think he likes hot weather, too.
And where's he going?
I don't know who wants him. Who needs it? Well,
the White Sox could use him right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oakland,
because Abreu's hurt, probably they could. Yeah, he's hurt too. So, whoever they'll send him somewhere to give him a chance. But they're probably going to wait till the end of July now, don't you think? to make their trades, probably.
Well, there's some guys I'd still trade now. But, yeah, Cruz, I think they can actually now with Cruz, if he continues to hit like this, bid him out to a certain point and get some bids.
The best sporting event I saw all weekend, the fights last night at the Armory. Pretty damn good.
I saw your byline on it.
Pretty good. Yeah, I covered it. And I did a column on Morrell Kid Sunday morning, and I covered the fight. And, yeah, Jim's in town, so we went together. And my son. And it was great. They had a 210 rounders before the main event. Which were a couple of cruiserweights, 180-pound guys just wailing the hell out of each other. But they neither followed the punches. You know, they'd throw it, and poof, the guy'd go back. And then one of them was called Bulletproof. We were sitting next to Bulletproof's family. Bulletproof Blandon Glanton or something from Atlanta. Yep. Bulletproof's family was right next in front of us, and we were talking to Bulletproof's family. And the other guy was from Nigeria, and he was the pit bull. We had Bulletproof against the pit bull.
Oh, it's a lot of
and
violence.
They were
right
throwing.
There.
It was violence. They were throwing. I do love the boxing is still a sport here with our paranoia about guns. We can still have a guy called Bulletproof.
Bulletproof, yeah. The Washington Bullets would still be the Washington Bullets.
Right. If it was boxing. In boxing. And then the there was a really good 10-rounder between a kind of a hot prospect named Suarez, who's a wonderful hands, 148-pounder. He was fighting this Filipino kid who was tough. And he basically ended up beating him in a narrow. The Suarez guy got upset. But then Morrell comes, David Morrell, a Cuban, who defected in middle of 2018, had to spend 18 months in Mexico. Then he made it to Miami, got the papers to go to Miami, signed with Louis DeCubas, who's head of Warriors Boxing in Miami. And Louis lived in Minnesota from 66 to 84. So he's, and his folks, big friends of the Olivas, you know, because his folks, his dad was a Cuban, you know. And Louis didn't want him in Miami. Didn't want a young Cuban fella hanging out in Miami. They've had some others, you know, hot prospects that got there. A guy named Garbay, who was a certain world champion, and he got to Miami as a young guy and kind of went off the tracks a little bit. So he sent him to Minnesota to train with the train with the Frasers, who are at Circle of Discipline over there on Lake Street. That there's a very good chance that they're running it out of Barnum now, their summer camp, but there's a very good chance the Circle of Discipline Jim will show up somewhere else in Minneapolis because they're a little too close to all the chaos. But but he's only – they put him in the ring for a 10-rounder for a WBA title in his third ever fight because he had 137 fights as an amateur, this Morrell kid, by the time he was 20. But he's a, you know, just a – 168-pounder, but there's a lot of guy there for 168 pounds, muscles, long arms. And so he had that 12-rounder. His others have all been quick knockouts. But they hadn't had a card at the Armory since August of 2019 when he fought his first pro fight. So they got a nice crowd. They announced 3,700, and it was pretty good, you know, and and the bars, I told you, the bars there, like both 60 yards are long on each side. It was like a football field or something. And they're active in those things. And the boxing crowd is kind of like the gals go get the whiskey.
Yeah.
The guys sit there and the gals, they come back with four shots of tequila in their hands. No, but the bars... The profit is made. It's at nationally televised. It was on Big Fox last night. It was on some of them are on FS1. Part of the card was on FS1, but the last three fights were on Big Fox. They got this deal with Premier Boxing Champions, but they got the hots for this. They like this kid, but so this Mexican kid who just got done beating Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who was prominent at one time and kind of fallen off. Well, all of a sudden you hear the Mexican music, the whatever it was. It might have been their anthem. I'm not real familiar with it. But they walk down a ramp. This guy's got a red sombrero on, big red sombrero. He's got a vinyl robe, red vinyl robe on, kind of the red vinyl shorts. He's got the whole music thing going, and he's got a guy with a flag behind him, and he's got the whole entourage, right? He's got the whole, and he makes the big arrival, and there's a few Mexican fans there. There's a few people rooting for the Mexico guy. And then Morrell comes in next all by himself. He basically just walks down, goes to his corner, and now this guy's waving to his fans, and Cazares was his name. And then the ref, who was Mark Nelson, the local guy, he had a lot of big fights, and his dad was a famous referee too, Denny. But they're getting ready to go. Right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you get 15 more seconds of Mexican music that this guy had played somehow to get him all fired up for the fight. So he comes out, and he immediately starts holding. You know, they'd get an exchange, and he'd hold. And it was a pretty good sign that he knew that after all the bravado, he knew he was in trouble. Yeah. Right? So, and then he hits him in the crotch once, and he gets stopped, and Morrell kind of shakes his hand like that, and apparently he also hit him with an elbow early in an exchange that I didn't see. And Morrell afterwards said, that's when I knew he was desperate, you know, but he kind of shrugged it off. He's had 137 amateur fights, most of them with other Cubans, you know, so he's used to tactics. But he's kind of going, and he hits the guy with a right that kind of makes his head, opens him up, and he hits him with a left, and then short, but powerful left, and the guy disappears, man. He just, whoa. I mean, the ref's running over, the ringside physician's running over, they're immediately running over. Within 5 seconds of the punch, this guy is crumpled, you know. Senior Cesaris, who after all this stuff, is laying there on his red vinyl shorts, and I don't know if he was, I can't tell if he was out or not, but he was close.
Right.
And at 2 minutes and 32 seconds. So this guy's good. His trainer's a Sankara Fraser, great guy, old time boxing guy in town here, and grew up in South Minneapolis and was a fighter himself. But he said that in these four previous fights, he said, these guys they come out in the ring and they're kind of dancing around. And he said, the first time David hits him, you know, really hits him, he says, their eyes pop wide open and they go like, what am I into here? Because the first time he hits them, they realize that they're in trouble. But this last night's crowd kind of got into him because he's, you know, David Morrell Jr. fighting out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, formerly of Santa Clara, Cuba, but they're making him a hometown guy.
Interesting, yeah.
And Ned Abdul, who's the owner of the Armory, and the guy that spent all his, you know, spent all the money to remodel it, no public money at all, and had done a great job with it. Last night after the fight, they announced he's become part of the management company of this kid, meaning he bought his way into, you know, getting a piece of him for a future fight. So they want to make this his fighting home as much as they can. So
how's boxing doing now?
This PBC thing helps a little, but it's you know, UFC's probably more popular with the youth. Boxing's kind of got the same problem as baseball. It's the audience is older. Like, you know, they're I can't stand UFC. I think it's the most ridiculous thing of all time, you know. Hold a guy by the head and punch him. There's no science to it, but in my opinion. But I think the youth prefers the UFC stuff because they, you know, gouge the hell out of each other. They were good. You saw that great ending, but before that there were 2-3 good fights. So the PBC, they're probably gonna come here 4 times a year. They like the Armory.
That's probably a perfect venue.
It is right size, but you know, yeah. You get 3,500 people in there, it looks jammed, you know?
Right?
And it's the first time Minnesota's really had a real boxing venue that's the right size. You know, it's noisy and it looks crowded, even if there's not
right.
that many. And 3,500, 3,700 is not a bad crowd for boxing. And they had 5,000 in there when Caleb Truex, the Osseo guy, fought one of their cards, but they didn't, as I said, they haven't had a card since August 31st of 2019 because of the pandemic.
That had to hurt that place big time.
They got another
the concerts and
yeah, the concerts. His concert schedule looks pretty good. August 31st. I hope everybody's conducting themselves well when they start having their concerts, though, because I think a lot of their concerts feature urban music, and we've had
Are you saying people aren't going downtown left and right these days, Pat?
Well, last night, this crowd, bring it on. The boxing crowd.
No, they're going to,
You want to mess with us? I said on Twitter, I love boxing crowds. If you called off a game and it wasn't raining with them, they were going to kick your ass.
Yeah, they'd find you.
They'd come out. They'd go down the dugout and beat up Rocco and find Dave St. Peter and drag him out onto the field.
They wouldn't take the crying kids home quietly.
No, they wouldn't. They would be raising some holy hell.
This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but 7 of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason. To match your specific situation, including zip code, with the best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com.
And it was, I had the pleasure of sitting next to a guy, a young 30-year-old, early 30s black guy. And man, between each round, he thought he was the dance, but he was a smooth, romantic dancer. You know, he wasn't a, but he'd get up and he'd be dancing. And I finally said to one of the bulletproof guys, I said, "Do you know this guy?" They said, "Nah, not really." I said, "Do you think he's as good a dancer as he thinks he is?" Because he was, and he looked at me. He was a good enough guy. But the bulletproof guys were,
I do love the bulletproof nickname, though.
No, bulletproof is great.
That's just great.
Yes, in 2000.
Yeah.
2021.
In the 50s, it would have been without
Clinton. Oh, yeah, bulletproof.
Yeah, bulletproof, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's bulletproof.
You're right.
Yeah, right. These people all come in and sit in front of us and say, "Team Bulletproof." And I said, "What? You know who doesn't?" We had great seats, sixth row. You know, Robbie Lear took care of us, sixth row. But Coley ringside.
Oh, was he?
Coley's got that.
Oh, he's the big boxing.
He got the boxing people in his. And you know who? One of the. Are you ready for this, Declan? One of the referees last night for the Suarez fight, which was like number 3 of the big TV fights, Kyle Sheely.
Really?
Kyle Sheely has been, did you know Kyle? Or was that before your time?
I think that was before his time.
He was a producer.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew Kyle.
I follow him on Twitter.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Kyle is, okay. He's been
on boxing?
He started doing this in the amateurs and build up, and he referees both boxing and UFC, mixed martial arts.
Okay.
But last night was like he got a look, wearing a suit, looking very dignified. And I think this is the biggest fight he's gotten because you got to build your way up. Although he said to me, "If you want to get started, we're a little short. We're just like everything else. We're a little short of boxing referees, too." So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Good for him.
But Kyle, yeah, he was. And Kyle left us for the neighbor, right?
You know, he now left. He left before I got here, but I came across him a couple times.
Now he's at the public radio
and boxing. Boxing referee, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Good for Kyle. So anyway, that was that. So you're fired up for the Lightning and the Canadians, huh?
Oh yeah.
I'd like to see the Canadians win. Can you know they haven't? I didn't realize Canada hasn't won since they won in 93.
93. Wow. They won in 86 and 93.
Was 93 a upset?
They played the King. No, they played the Kings. They beat Gretzky,
Gretzky
and the Kings.
That was the team that beat
that was
Gretzky.
The Marty McSorley illegal stick, and he got caught. It was, I think it was an early game in the finals. And
yeah, I remember the McSorley.
Measured his stick, and he got a penalty, and I think they scored.
Do you
off
miss
that.
Measuring the stick? That used to be a great thing. Measuring. We don't measure the stick anymore.
You can measure the stick if you want still, but I don't. But I think we're complying more now than we used to.
Maybe complying more, and maybe
the key is to get a guy to sneak over to the opposing team's stick rack.
Okay.
And measure the sticks before so you know because it's a delay of game if you're wrong.
Yes, right. So, that's right.
It's subterfuge.
Yes. It's kind of like, and then, of course, it can't be like when Albert Bell had the illegal bat and they crawled, crawled through
the ceiling
of, that was the new Comiskey, right?
Yeah.
That was New Comiskey.
Yeah, who was it that they had called?
Was it Albert's bat that they were rescuing, or was it Albert? I can't remember.
His bat had been
put. It was a pitcher, left-handed pitcher. Who the hell was it? Left-handed pitcher.
Was it Jack McDowell?
No, he's a right-handed pitcher. He was a left-handed. Kind of a left-handed.
I don't remember.
Pitcher.
But I believe what they did was they confiscated Albert's bat, put in the umpire's room, and they had the pitcher. They had him climb through the ceiling to try and switch bats, I think, to put a non-corked bat in the umpire's room.
Yes.
It's not now where they bag Hector Santiago's glove and send it to forensics in New York.
Yeah, Hector's. I didn't see the video. Did he look guilty?
No, he was laughing, and he claims it's all rosin. I didn't do anything wrong. It's all rosin.
Okay, all right.
Just like he claimed he called our show when he wasn't calling
it. Yeah, that was one of my greatest contributions to the Ricey and Mackey show. I said, I can get you a heck. That's because May got hurt.
Yep.
We had May lined up, and then he had Tommy John.
We had May on once in spring training, and then like the next week he was out.
We were desperate, and I said, well, Hector's a talker. I can get you Hector. He's going to be one of their starters. And Dustin called him Hector. He said, yeah, I'll do it. So it was an easy negotiation, but unfortunately, when he turned horse bleep, he stopped calling, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, Hector wasn't a talker if things weren't going well.
No, one of those rare athletes who did not.
Ordinarily, some stand-up guys.
Who does not do well in that situation. So I got a real beef here. You want me to get unchained?
Yes, it's the name of the show. Of course we do.
Why do I give a damn if Belgium beats Denmark in Europe, and it's not the World Cup? Why do I care? Every time I go to ESPN.com, they got a bunch of Ferners playing soccer, and that's their play story. Who cares? Who cares? You know? Who cares about Euro Cup? We don't care about Copa Cup or whatever it is. That's us. Let's look inward here, for God's sakes. And why are we loading our players to Sweden to play some damn buddy?
This Boxall guy just got loaned his country.
Yeah, that's for the Olympics. No, I'd say no. You can't have him. No, play your games in the season.
Yes.
They just waited 3 weeks between games in the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
In June, a great month. You know, what the hell are they doing? This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N, Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained.
I don't know why they are so big on international play.
How come back in the day the Kicks never took a break?
Ace never left
their game.
Ace leave? Did Alan Willie leave?
Best player,
Ricardo Alonso.
Best player in the history of South Africa. He stayed here and played for his team. But the other thing is, even if they're gone, why do we care about the Euro Cup? Who cares?
You know why, Pat?
Why?
Because young people now care more about the Euro Cup than they do baseball.
I know.
That's why baseball's got a problem.
Yes. But no, I don't think anybody really cares. They just want to think that they care.
I think people like our old friend Jonathan Harrison might care.
Because two generations ago, your mother came from Ellis Island
fashionable.
Denmark.
Europe's fashionable. Well, we're more intrigued by what's going on in Europe than our own country.
Well, I love Europe. I love Europe because everything's close together. That's why I love Europe.
It's like the East Coast.
Yeah, everything's close together. I love Europe, but I don't give a damn if France beats Spain or Spain beats France.
I can't help you. I think you're on to a point that we've talked about for a long time. Why are teams that pay guys to play for them so willing to give them up for international competition?
I don't have any
idea. I mean, aren't
idea.
You supposed to be putting the best product possible on the field the United?
Yes. And I mean, you know, it's bad enough that we have six guys every week who are in training, but they aren't. But that's another thing that irritates me. It's practice. It's not training. Stop telling me you're in training. You're in practice. This is America. We don't train. We practice.
Do you like the pitch?
Huh?
Do you like the pitch instead of the field?
I don't.
The table instead of the standings?
I was going to write out a bunch of the terms they use.
Yep. Clean sheet.
And write it all down and then try to write a column that used American terms for all of it to see if I can agitate people. But after Saturday's failed experiment in agitation.
Oh, my God.
After Saturday's failed experiment in agitation, I've given up.
Okay, explain the Saturday.
All right. So all week I've been just laughing my ass off about Arizona, trying to find out if there's any bamboo from China in the ballots to overthrow the election in Trump's favor and all this other crazy stuff. So I get thinking, well, you know, we need some forensic scientists to inspect the videotapes and stuff, defeats that we've suffered, you know, to find out if we got, you know, jobbed, if these suspicious results should have been in our favor. So I just came up with five of them at random, you know, the Ted Hampson goal and that was a good goal, you know, what forensic scientists have proven. And
yep.
I think, you know, I went like just – I didn't go with all the obvious ones. I went with the, you know, obviously the Brett Favre game and that stuff. But I thought, first of all, having Mike Lindell's name in there and also saying that – what was the name of the fullback? Tahi was his first
name. Fahu Tahi.
Yeah. Was actually a hologram sent in by Peyton and, blah, 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 because the scientist.
You thought it might be obvious.
So I made it as outrageous as I could. I think what I discovered is not that many sports fans follow politics, you know, right? Maybe. I don't know. Readers. But B, it became a big discussion as to whether I'd included the right games where we got robbed instead of you. You know, I didn't stir up the Trumpers. I just proved that, you know, that really, really over the top satire doesn't work. So
yes,
that
which means it's not only confined to Twitter where people don't get it.
No, oh yeah, yeah.
You can write 25 column inches.
As I said on Twitter, I've worked with many good journalists, great reporters who always felt that if they wrote something and the readers didn't get it, they felt bad, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that they feel they disappointed the readers. And I said, when that happens to me, I feel the readers disappointed me, you know. So I blame the readers, right? I have a defense mechanism of being able to blame the readers. But so that probably took care of any time that I think that writing a soccer column. Well, the other thing is nobody reads about people go to soccer games.
Yeah, yeah
they look at headlines whether Denmark beat the Netherlands. But the loons playing the game is not doing a lot of business on StarTribune.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if they have another playoff run that's not in a bubble.
The lesson you've learned is that there is a very narrow window to troll certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer's not going to work, politics, but you know what you always got? The gopher holers.
Well, we do. We do have the gopher holers. And although they disappointed me because they didn't read it, because I had in there that Coach Brew had created more excitement than any other coach in the past 60 years since the Rose Bowl. And that was supposed to set off the Fleck lovers, and nobody read it. So they ignored it. They didn't read it. I'm not vain enough to say they didn't get it. I just say they didn't read it.
You thought you had a hit single.
Yes, I did.
You thought you had a hit album out.
Yeah, yes, right.
And it turned into your Ishtar.
Yes, it was.
It's your Ishtar column.
Ishtar. It was Ben Stiller's Starsky and Hutch remake. Yeah, that happens, but what the hell? You know, it's not my fault. It's your fault.
You people didn't understand it. And they didn't. The comments indicated they did not understand it. As they fought about what you should have included.
Yes, yes, right. That was true. That was true. So, anyhow, what else we got? Anything else going in our... How about the Minnesota young ladies, two of them going to the Olympics in gymnastics? When I was out there seeing my first gymnastics with Mary Lou Retton at the 1984 Olympics, the idea that we would be producing Olympians in Minnesota never occurred to me. It's amazing.
This state has become incredible at producing athletes compared.
Olympic-style athlete.
The basketball crowd.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't exist.
Yeah.
Now you've got how many outstanding basketball players from here?
Yes. But and you're right. It has. But we got an Olympic. You know, you had Gabe Stevenson, the rest of it. I mean, he moved here from someplace else to Apple Valley. But you got the idea that we have the three gymnasts going to the Olympics is incredible.
Including one from the dump program, right?
From the dump. The Gophers had the audacity to send out congratulations to former Gopher Shane Wiskus. Well, people were killing him.
Well, they deserve it.
People were like, I was reading the comments. You don't have the right to say this, you bleeping bleepers.
You can't disagree with him.
No, because he was the number one critic, too. Wiskus was the one that going to regents meetings and going to
good for him.
Everything else, going to the president and everything else. It cost him $30,000 a year. These kids are going to go to school. You know, I mean, it cost them nothing. You know, it was just, you know, there's only 15 programs left, but it was ridiculous.
Bother, though, sending out congratulations knowing that you're going to get smashed? Like, who doesn't say,
They were afraid people would say, look at them. They won't even, you know.
I think you're better off.
You could have, yeah, I think you are, David. Because it doesn't have the lasting power.
Exactly.
It doesn't. If you ignored them, you know, then you would, you know.
Either way, you look ridiculous.
Yeah, right. They were. But they, you know, that was so, like, that was like throwing red meat to a, yeah, a bunch of pit bulls.
There you go.
That's, you know, so, yeah. But it's, I mean, Rachel Blount's going to be hopping at Tokyo, man. We got a lot of
Who's going to Tokyo for
her and Sue Ann.
Okay.
But, you know, they might have to cut back on the idea that we have to cover all Minnesotans, no matter how remote is their possibility. I used to say, I get sick of going to see cross-country skiers from Minnesota who are going to finish 52nd, who I wouldn't go watch compete if they were skiing in the parking lot at the Star Tribune. But because they're in Olympics, we got to go. We got to go up on some mountain. Is he any sign of him yet?
If they came through your backyard, would you step out of the sliding glass door?
Hey, what are you doing here? You know.
Slowly and, making their way through your backyard. You
know, and the worst thing was we do it every day. You know, if the guy had two races, we'd have to do both of them in case he. And you know what they always have at the Olympics? Personal best. You know, they always had their. They always make a point that they finished 45th, but they had their personal best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I mean, I admire those guys skiing 20 miles through the woods, but there's nothing I can offer from your personal best. You know, it's not. So that's another one. The one I always remember is we were in Barcelona, and we had a rower, I believe. And the rowing site in Barcelona was up in the mountains, you know, because they needed water. They don't have that much. They couldn't do it on the ocean. I mean, the sea. So they.
Right.
So I went up there and they had the complex and went to bed at 3:45 a.m. and set the alarm for 4:30 to catch the bus. So I had a 20-minute nap and. Went up there, a nice kid, a young lady, I can't remember who it was, but, you know, no chance to get a medal or anything, and you're going and you're saying, now what am I going to do? What am I going to make out of this? It's how do you make out, you know, a story out of that? Because we've already written features on all these people before the Olympics, so mm-hmm. The locals are... God love them. I mean, now you got a lot of locals who are of interest. The gymnasts, and I mean, they could be part of a gold medal winning team and stuff like that.
Right. So.
But the local who's got no chances is always a tough one at the Olympics.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community.
That's one I don't get is basketball, okay? So on the subject of guys going and taking off from their MLS clubs in soccer.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah.
If you're the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
This kid's been outstanding. Middleton.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. Do you want him going to the Olympics and competing in July for 2 weeks?
Yeah. They're getting, you know, Harden's allegedly going, and I think the guys who haven't been there before are going to kind
of. I'm just saying, I want you to take the time off. If I'm the team.
Yeah.
If I'm the NBA team, I don't want you
playing. Because actually they're playing later this year than they've ever played.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be playing.
Middleton's going to play for, I mean, if they make the finals into July.
Yeah.
Well into July.
Yeah, and then you've
got to be there. On a plane
there's going to be no break. You're right. There's going to be no break at all.
If I pay your salary, I have no interest in you doing that.
No, but, you know.
I mean, I know that can't probably stop you, but still.
By the way, I find it interesting that, and maybe I'm wrong, but... did our superstar get an invite to join this team?
You know, I've not seen that if he did.
Well, he's maybe he'd already said he wasn't interested, yeah. But
I was thinking of that a couple days ago.
There must be some invites. I wonder, they must, they're, you know, the, some people made the team that kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. Lillard said no, and a couple of, didn't Lillard say no?
I think so. Yeah, a few guys
but
said
I
no.
haven't seen, now maybe Cat announced it because of the troubled year he had and the whole COVID thing and everything.
I don't remember seeing a story on it, though.
He didn't want to go, but either that or he wasn't invited. I don't know what his status is in the league, where teams look at him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talented guy, but I don't. Is he considered one of the five best centers in the league? I don't know.
It feels like it's fallen a lot in the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to... you know, show them that he played a little better defense this year, but I don't know if he's, I will find out. Next year is, you don't have a draft choice, so I didn't realize they didn't have a second rounder.
Yeah,
either.
They came right to Golden State, too.
Not that it makes any difference. They get them both?
Yeah, they got them both.
Wow.
They got the second regardless and top three protected first round pick, so they lost them both.
And they don't have that much cap money, right?
No.
So they're trying to sign a free agent, but they'll have to.
They're going to have to make a trade if they want to make a substantial move.
Who's going to take Beasley off their hands? I keep reading they might trade Beasley.
He would be thrown in with somebody else.
Yeah,
but might trade Beasley. The problem is Culver's a complete bust.
Yes.
Okogie ain't that great.
No.
Beasley's got the off-the-court problems.
Yeah. Yeah,
they'd love to get rid of the Ricky contract, I'm sure, but that's another one that you'd have to.
Oh, that's right. They did.
The Rubio contract.
How many more money? One more year?
Yeah. So yeah, it's an attractive expiring contract.
But it's what, 14 or something?
I have to look it up.
It's pretty good. So,
but yeah, it's a pretty big expiring contract.
They can't afford to play a full season and to start off a full season and make it obvious to their very minimal fan base that they're going to win 30 games again this year.
They're no.
Not make the playoff. They have to.
They have to do something.
They have to give some indication of competitiveness.
Yes.
That you can sneak into the bottom part of the playoff. And they're going to have 10. They're going to do that. You know damn well they're going to do that 10-team thing again, right?
Yes. Oh, it's here to stay. Yeah. Once you do that, you're not going back.
67% of your teams are in the playoffs. That drives me nuts. It hasn't been this bad when 16 out of 21 made it in the NHL.
Well, that's an export to go up.
And you think
they're going to find a way to go up eventually? Yeah, of course.
Really?
You make more money.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
16 out of 32 just isn't enough.
That's not enough.
I was very unimpressed with the Kraken's coaching hire.
Dave Hakstol. Yeah,
he's a bore ass.
I was surprised by that.
He's
that came out of nowhere,
he's got
too.
The personality of the wall.
Yeah,
maybe they don't. I thought they'd, as smart as those guys are, I thought they'd go for a little more dynamic of a character than
this might be.
Who's their
Francis,
GM?
Ron Francis, who was the Carolina GM before and got fired from Carolina, but this must be his guy.
Must be, because did he? He didn't have any connection with him in Philly, though, did he?
They were, I think they were on there was an international thing where Hextall might have been coach and Francis was on the executive staff or something. They definitely had crossed paths.
Hmm. It's amazing, though, that, you know, how about somebody new?
I know.
Give me somebody new once in a while. It's unbelievable.
Hockey's incredible.
That's, the recycled is just amazing. Boots, give it to Boots, for goodness sakes. Boots wants to win, though. They probably didn't want to.
Yeah, I don't think Boots is...
You think Boots will be back someday?
I got to think so. It might be, you know what? He might be a candidate to replace somebody now in season next year.
Yes, yeah. He's the guy and a guy that when you're disappointing after 45 games, he brings you...
I thought he might get the Buffalo job, but I think Donnie Granato's going to keep that job. They really liked him. And plus, they're
how did they get
screwed.
So horrible?
Buffalo?
Yeah.
You
are
know,
they going to trade Eichel?
Yeah. I think they have to. As good a job as the Pegulas have done.
Eichel misses curfew once in a while, I hear.
Yeah. Oh, Eichel's got some off-the-ice things, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, he's also, the problem with him is he's going to have, supposed to have some type of neck procedure done. But he hasn't had it done yet, and the longer he waits, if he doesn't have it.
Now, that's okay. We just gave a great contract to a guy with a bad neck playing football, so that'll be okay.
Yeah, except there's an out. There's a big time out in March.
Oh, really?
A big lump payment has to be made on the sixth day of the league year.
Next year.
And they can cut him before that. Yes. So if he has three sacks, he might not be back.
Mm-hmm. But it was good for him to.
He got money moved around
there because if they want to keep him.
Yeah, he got money moved around, but
didn't he get 18 up front or something?
Yeah, they took a bunch of what was in the back end of the contract and voided those years and moved it up for him. But they didn't give him a new restructured contract.
Well, let's hope like Josh Donaldson's calf. We don't opening day. We
clubhouse
don't hear about
players the, only meeting yesterday.
Another one. He had one 2 weeks ago. What happened to that one?
Oh, did he?
He had one 2-3 weeks.
I forgot about that one. Okay,
yeah, I bet this drives him nuts because he's not a likable guy. You know, he's not like everybody's going to embrace him. And
Donaldson,
I mean he's.
I got one for you. Before the Twins game yesterday. So Buxton is a finalist for the All-Star Game vote.
Yes.
Okay. The Twins had a scoreboard promotion and announced, vote Byron Buxton to the All-Star Game, knowing full well he can't play in the All-Star Game.
Yes. Yes. You want to?
That's another thing. Why are you doing this?
Yes.
Talk about another thing.
And why are you encouraging the fans who you've already decided to screw on Saturday and not have a game to vote for him? Because as you said, they're already removing their stuff from the bullpen, for God's sake.
Exactly. All right.
Unbelievable.
Good stuff.
All right. See you. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy, Josh, will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.